Hey everyone, welcome back. You ever wonder what those big institutional investors are really looking at in the market? You know, like what are they seeing that maybe we're missing? The ones moving those huge, just mountains of cash. Well, so what we're doing today, we're diving deep into some recent market analysis. And let me tell you, it's pretty wild. We're going to be talking about everything from like the future of finance with companies like Coinbase and SoFi to the crazy world of energy drinks.
What's really interesting here is that these big institutions, they're not just looking at right now, They're looking way ahead. They're trying to figure out to pinpoint who are the companies that are going to be shaping their industries 5, 10, even 20 years down the line.
Oh, wow. So it's like they have a crystal ball or something.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, well, we've got a lot to unpack today, so let's jump right in. First up, Coinbase and SoFi. Now, they're both dealing with money, finance, but in very different ways. Coinbase is all about that crypto life, while SoFi seems to be building this kind of like all-in-one financial hub. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly why these companies are so fascinating to these investors, because they represent very, very different approaches to shaking up how we think about finance. Coinbase, for instance, gives you that direct exposure to cryptocurrency, a market that's, well, known for being a little volatile, but also one with, let's just say, massive potential.
It seems like every single day there's 50 new headlines about Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Right.
So it's definitely a little bit of the Wild West out there.
Definitely still early days.
But one thing I did think was interesting about Coinbase is that they seem to be pushing for more regulation. You'd think they'd want to stay away from that, but they're kind of like welcoming it.
And that's because for a company like Coinbase, regulatory clarity, it's a really good thing. It makes the whole crypto space seem more legit, more trustworthy, which in turn attracts more of these big institutional investors who might have been on the fence before. And it also just makes the market more appealing to everyday people, you and me, who maybe aren't so comfortable in a totally unregulated environment.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't put your money in a casino if it didn't have any rules.
Exactly. And speaking of investing, let's move on to SoFi. One of the things that really stood out to me when I was reading about them was that they recently got their hands on a national bank charter,
Oh, interesting.
which is a big deal because it lets them function as a real bank. They can take deposits, make loans, the whole nine yards.
Wow, so they're not just a fintech company, they're an actual bank now.
That's right, a real bank. And this was a really, really smart move by them for a couple of key reasons. First, it gives them access to way more potential customers, people who might have been a little iffy about trusting a fintech company with their savings. They might be way more likely to go with a name that has that traditional bank charter behind it,
Yeah, they're building that trust, building that brand recognition.
Exactly. It's really quite clever.
So they're basically killing two birds with one stone, expanding their reach and building trust at the same time. Very smart. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about a company that's tackling a completely different market, Celsius. Now, I'll be honest, when I think of these big institutional investors, I don't usually picture like energy drinks.
Yeah.
But here we are. What's the deal there?
So Celsius is a really fascinating case study because what they've managed to do is tap into a market that is just exploding right now, health and wellness. And they've done it in a way that's really resonating with people, especially younger generation.
Yeah, it really does seem like everyone and their mother is obsessed with healthy living these days.
It's huge. And Celsius has very deliberately positioned themselves as the energy drink for the health-conscious consumer. They're not out there marketing to the extreme sports crowd. They're targeting the folks who want an energy boost without all that extra sugar and artificial junk. And this approach is clearly working because they're attracting a lot of attention from those institutional investors who was, let's be honest, they're always on the lookout for those companies that have that long-term growth potential.
And it's not just the product either, is it? They're doing some cool stuff with their marketing as well. I noticed they're all over social media, partnering up with fitness influencers, athletes.
Absolutely. Celsius gets it. They understand the power of influencer marketing, especially in the health and wellness world. And they're really smart about it. They're leveraging that trust and credibility that these influencers have built with their audience to reach a whole bunch of new customers. And you know what? It builds brand loyalty.
Yeah, for sure. It's like they're creating this whole community around the brand, which is really smart. Okay, so we've got companies trying to revolutionize finance, companies tapping into this whole health and wellness craze, and now we're moving into the world of tech giants with Amazon and Micron.
And these two companies, even though they're both in tech, they represent very different parts of the industry, parts that these big investors find really, really appealing. Amazon, with its just sheer size, it dominates e-commerce, cloud computing, and now it's even in entertainment. It's seen as, well, a safe bet.
Yeah, it really does feel like they're kind of taking over the world, like one industry at a time. I mean, I buy pretty much everything from Amazon these days.
And that's exactly why they're so attractive to investors, right? They've got this proven track record of success, and they never stop. They're constantly innovating, expanding into new markets. It's incredible. But we can't forget about Micron.
Right.
They might not be a household name like Amazon, but they're a crucial player in the tech space.
Totally. They're the ones making all those memory and storage chips that power our phones, our laptops, everything.
Exactly. And with all these data-heavy technologies on the rise now, like AI and the Internet of Things, well, the demand for Micron's products is just going to keep going up.
They really are. They're kind of like the quiet achiever in a way, aren't they?
Right.
You don't always see Micron in the headlines or anything like that, but they're always there behind the scenes, making sure everything runs smoothly. Speaking of behind the scenes, one thing I read about Amazon that really piqued my interest was this whole move into healthcare with Amazon Pharmacy. I mean, are we going to be getting our prescriptions delivered with our groceries now? I mean, it seems like a pretty big leap for a company that, you know, started out selling books and electronics.
It does seem like a bit of a head-scratcher at first,
right?
But when you really think about it, it makes perfect sense. Amazon, they're all about convenience, right? Making things easier, more efficient.
Yeah.
And they've already got this incredibly sophisticated logistics network in place. They deliver millions of packages every single day. So really what they're doing is they're taking that expertise, that infrastructure, and they're applying it to a brand new industry. And it's definitely shaking things up in the healthcare world.
Yeah, I bet. All those traditional pharmacies must be getting a little nervous right now.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
But it kind of makes you wonder, like, where does it stop? You know, what's next on Amazon's hit list?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's what makes Amazon such a fascinating company. They're not afraid to experiment, to push the boundaries, even if it means disrupting, you know, entire industries along the way. And that's exactly what these institutional investors are banking on.
I guess so. They like those bold moves. Speaking of banking, let's circle back to SoFi for a sec. I get that this bank charter thing was a smart move, but for those of us who aren't, you know, financial experts, how does that actually play out in the real world? What does it mean for the average person who just wants to, like, manage their money without a hassle?
Well, for the average person like you and me, it could mean having access to a much wider range of financial products and services, all in one convenient place. SoFi's whole thing is that they want to be that one-stop shop for everything money-related, from checking and savings accounts to loans and investments.
Oh, wow. So they're really trying to do it all.
Exactly. And by becoming an actual bank, they can offer all those services with the same level of security and regulation as those big traditional banks, which, you know, can be really appealing to people who might be a little hesitant to trust a, you know, a newer fintech company with their hard-earned cash.
Right. So it's like, they're combining the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
The innovation of a fintech, but with the stability and the security of a traditional bank.
Yeah.
That's a tough combo to beat.
It really is. And it's clearly attracting a lot of attention.
I bet. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but I wanted to swing back to something you mentioned earlier about these institutional investors, how they're always looking for those long-term trends. So let's talk about the metaverse for a minute. Mm-hmm. Meta, you know, Facebook, they're pouring billions with a B into building this whole virtual world, the metaverse.
Yeah.
But is it actually going to be as big as they say, or is it just, you know, hype?
It's easy to dismiss it as just another fad, right? Another tech buzzword that's going to come and go.
Yeah.
But I think these big institutional investors, they see something much, much bigger. They're looking at the way our lives are moving, how we're spending more and more time in the digital world, how those online interactions are becoming more complex, more immersive, and they're betting that the metaverse, in some form or another, is going to be a huge part of how we work, how we socialize, even how we shop in the future.
It's almost like a natural progression in a way, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it's not just Meta that's in on it, right? You mentioned AMD before, and they're a pretty big player in this space too.
They're essential, actually. AMD, they make those really powerful chips that are absolutely crucial for things like virtual reality, augmented reality, all the technologies you need to create that truly immersive metaverse experience. So think of it this way. Meta might be the one building the virtual world. They're the architects, but AMD, they're providing the tools, the building blocks.
Yeah, they're the ones making it all actually work. It's like Meta's the architect, AMD's the construction crew. They both need each other to make this thing a reality.
Precisely. And that's why you see institutional investors watching both companies so closely.
Yeah.
They understand that for the metaverse to succeed, for any of this future tech to really take off, it's going to require collaboration, innovation from a lot of different players.
It's like this high-stakes game of chess, you know?
Yeah.
You got all these different pieces moving around the board, sometimes working together, sometimes competing. It's fascinating. So for those of us who aren't, you know, institutional investors, we don't have those millions to just throw around. What are the key things we should be taking away from all of this? What do we need to be paying attention to?
That's a great question. I think the biggest takeaway here is that the future really belongs to those who are willing to adapt, who embrace change. The companies that are thriving right now, the ones attracting those savvy investors, they're the ones who are not afraid to challenge how things have always been done, to innovate, to move quickly, and adapt to this constantly changing world.
So it's not enough to just kind of keep up with the times. You have to actually be ahead of the game, thinking about what's next.
Exactly.
So we got to be proactive, thinking about what's next, not just reacting to what's happening right now.
100%. We've got to be curious. We got to be asking questions. And you know what? We can't be afraid to poke the bear a little, not accepting the status quo.
I like that, poke the bear. So it's like we're all players in this giant game and the rules are, well, they're changing all the time.
That's a great way to put it. And the more we understand those rules, the better equipped we'll be to actually win the game, right?
Exactly. All right, so let's bring this home. We've talked about a ton today, from crypto going wild to energy drinks blowing up to these tech giants making big moves. What are some of the key takeaways you think our listeners should like really walk away with today?
You know, if there's one big thing to remember, it's that the future really belongs to the bold, the ones who aren't afraid to take risks and try new things. It's the companies and the people who are ready to embrace all this change, who are constantly learning, constantly adapting. Those are the ones who are going to make it in this crazy, ever-changing world.
It's not enough to just survive. You got to thrive.
Exactly.
Well said. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Big thank you to our expert for joining me on this wild ride through the world of institutional investing. I don't know about you, but my brain is definitely full.
The fun part is it never stops.
Right. And to all our listeners out there, as always, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and most importantly, never stop learning. We'll catch you in the next one.